We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist, joining on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. What's going on, Dan? How are you, man?
I am well. How are you?
Doing great. So before we get into some of this name, image, likeness, maybe some Browns, Deshaun Watson, what are your thoughts on Tom Brady getting $375 million to be the lead analyst for Fox's NFL coverage?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's got a job. You know, you always worry if that retirement income will stretch long enough. So good for him.
He doesn't have enough, right?
I said I thought it would be like $30 million, and then it went to even higher. I wasn't that surprised. I guess people were surprised, but he does a weekly radio show. He has a podcast. He has a podcast network. He's done tons of commercials. He does social media stuff. He does skits. I mean, he's kind of started building media out for a while, and you know, people are like, why would he do it? And then, of course, it's $37.5 million a year.
Right.
So there's that. I that's good for him, I guess. I mean, yeah, it's funny that he's already committed. Like, how does this work next year if he's on a Fox game and he makes a bad throw? Like, do they even dare? Like, you know, everyone's going to be auditioning to be like his Joe Buck to his Troy Aikman, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be nice to Tom. I don't know. But, yeah, good for Tom. Not bad.
I mean, you know the business really well, Dan. Is there any way that Fox makes it worth it, that they're paying him that much money and they get that kind of return somehow?
I don't get any of this stuff. Like, I can't imagine he gets literally 1,000 more people watch because of him.
Right. Right.
I don't know who watches because of Tom Brady or Troy Aikman or any guy, any announcer. You want a competent announcer. I understand the NFL wants like a high quality broadcast. And like, you know, it's explained to me for ESPN to have like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they might get better Monday night games or something like that. So maybe there's some impact there, but I have absolutely no idea how you get $37 million return on investment, let alone 40 or 45 or 50 out of Tom Brady. There's just nobody I would listen to.
Dan, who's your favorite analyst? All of football.
I mean, it's the problem. I don't know.
Nobody has one.
No one jumps
right?
out. Okay. Well, then that's why.
You know who I notice does a good job, and it's like this is the people. It's not an analyst. It's like Sean McDonough.
Right.
Like Sean McDonough. Is just like a good, solid broadcaster.
Solid.
Right?
Totally
like
solid.
Ian Eagle. Tirico was like that when he was doing a million different things. Like, it's like, oh, that's a good broadcast. I have no idea which one would be my favorite. None of them really interest me that much.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports columnist, joining on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Chris Fedor, Dustin Fox. It's Afternoon Drive on 92.3 The Fan. Switching it a little bit, what do you make of the situation that the Browns find themselves in currently with Deshaun Watson, and how do you think this is going to play out this year, Dan?
In what, like, what specifically?
In terms of,
is he gonna play, or
in terms of how many games he misses, if he's going to miss any games, that sort of thing.
I mean, my guess is that he's going to miss half a season minimum.
Okay.
Whether there's more or not, I don't know. It's just so hard to tell. The NFL has not tipped its hand on this at all. But I don't think there's a way that he doesn't sit for her, you know, eight games or something like that. I just, you know, I don't know what the I don't even know what the proper penalty is. I mean, he's already lost a year of his career. I know that wasn't punitive, but it's still, you know, it's still a factor. I think the Browns are looking at it like, hey, if we lose him for half a season, it's all right. Maybe even we lose him for a season, that's the gamble you're taking on this. There's just such an unknown. But I don't think there's any chance that he's you're going to see him in September or anything like that. I mean, we talk about Brady. Brady got four games for a football that probably wasn't even deflated. What are you going to get on this? What's the standard? Ezekiel Elliott got six. Different things like that. I would expect this to be at least eight for Deshaun Watson. And for the Browns' sake, hopefully not longer, because that would certainly make for a tough season where, they might be primed to really do something.
Are you surprised, Dan, that they signed up for this, the Browns?
Yeah, not necessarily. I don't know. I mean, when you're Cleveland and you know guys like Deshaun Watson are never going to pick Cleveland unless there's something like this. And I say that as someone who lives in Detroit. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not calling in from Miami and laughing at Cleveland. It's like to get a player like this, something has to happen. You either have to draft them or you've got to get them this way. And so you have to overpay and maybe overgamble for him, and they certainly did. But if he returns to what he was in football terms, certainly it's a good deal, even if he misses a whole season. It was not out of turn 2 years ago to wonder whether Deshaun Watson was better than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that was a legitimate debate. I think Mahomes won that debate or was winning that debate, but it was a debate. He's a super talented guy and a winner and all of those things. And it's part of why it was such a kind of a stunner when the whole scandal came out. But so, it was a bold move by Cleveland that maybe doesn't always make bold moves. But this is what you got to do kind of if you're going to be – you're going to be the Browns and try to get that guy and say, all right, we've got a guy now for 10 years. We're going to risk it. We're going to risk that first one. We're going to give up a lot of equity, and we're going to ride with him.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, is our guest on the hotline. Dan, do you want to get to your thoughts on this NIL stuff and some of the recruiting issues? Because you guys did have a good column about it. And certainly the last couple of days, there's been some news coming down that the NCAA is looking to crack down on the pay-for-play, the NIL deals that you're seeing, kind of run rampant in college football. Let me just ask you this. I mean, do you think that there's going to be a legitimate crackdown on this, or is it going to continue to be, just kind of by the seat of our pants to some degree?
I think they're going to try to do something, and I think they should. If they want to stop this, you really only have to have a little bit of fear in schools' minds that they hold back a little bit. I mean, the one thing that all this is, they're talking about these collectives and these boosters, like the head coach and the AD don't still run the show. I mean, every school could sit there and tell their boosters don't do this. And every school could tell their boosters, look, just because you pay a kid, I'm not going to – in a way that I don't believe is right, I'm not going to recruit them, right? They, like, just because they pay a guy doesn't mean a head coach has to take them. So there is power in the schools individually to self-police. Now, we know about college sports, a lot of schools are going to say, heck no, I'm just going to take every advantage. But if there's a little bit of fear, maybe. But I think it would be very, very hard. It's very hard to police. I'm not entirely sure what is and isn't legal. It's very, very nebulous. But I kind of hold the opinion that I don't know that this is that bad. I think there's a lot of panic. I think there's a lot of fear of change. It's a new thing. But I haven't seen anything really bad happen. I don't, one quarterback's going to go to Tennessee instead of Clemson, or Texas A&M had the best recruiting class instead of Georgia. Well, those kids are all going to go somewhere, and if they actually spread out a little to different schools, I don't know that that's a bad thing. I actually think it's something most college football fans want, which is a little more competitive balance. Maybe not Ohio State fans because they're on top of the mountain, but most college football fans. So it's so new. I don't know that this is nearly as bad as some people are making it out to be. And so I don't know that you want to overreact to it. I think the market's going to find itself and even out in a lot of ways, because every school has money. Every school can kind of do this, and I don't think it'll change the dynamics of college football in a big, big way.
Is there something about it, Dan, that you would want to change?
I mean, if you could wave a magic wand and just say, you know, I certainly think tampering with people's rosters, you know, if a kid is out of school, you would prefer that other schools weren't reaching out and saying, hey, come play for us.
Right.
We can offer you this. We can offer you playing time. We can offer you whatever. I just don't know how you stop that. But if you could wave a magic wand, yeah, I think I would like a player who signs with a school, unless, you know, they're not playing or there's another reason, to stay with that school. I think I do think that's a legit thing. You know, you have the wide receiver from Pittsburgh leaving. You don't want schools like Pitt being a kind of a farm system for bigger schools or anything like that. But again, it's really tough. These players are not employees of the schools. They do not want to make them employees. So how do you limit what is as the NCAA will always say, is a student athlete? Like, if you go to Ohio State and you're an engineering major and you want to transfer to Michigan State, the dean of the Ohio State engineering department doesn't get to block you from doing that. Like, it would be absurd to even suggest that. Or if you want to, whatever you want to do, you can do. And they've held for reasons so they didn't have to compensate the players and so they could avoid paying taxes, trying to balance that and say, well, this guy's not our employee, but we can control him like an employee, or even in ways greater than an employee. We can say, you know, same thing, if you're an engineer at Ohio State, an engineering major, and you want to go get a job somewhere, or someone wants to pay you to help work on a project, the dean of the school doesn't get to say, no, you can't have that job. So, you know, it just doesn't hold up in court. And whether the system was right or wrong, it's just not doable anymore. And, you know, so college football has to find that, I don't know, that balance, right, to where you maintain what you can while being maintaining, you know, being legal and not getting killed on antitrust lawsuits.
Dan, last question for me, and we got to make this about 30, 45 seconds. Do you think college football fans will be turned off by this as we go?
I think once we get playing, I don't think this will be that big of a deal. And I think once the games get back, you'll realize how great the games are. Yep. When Notre Dame shows up at Ohio Stadium this year, it's going to be awesome. And people are not going to really care what happened to some receiver at Pittsburgh.
Right about that. Dan, great stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
Anytime, guys.
All right, there is Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports.